Tattercloth groaned. It had been better in his father's day. You just needed a bloody great heap of log rollers and 20 years, which was useful because it kept everyone out of trouble during inundation, when all the fields were flooded. Now you just needed a bright lad with a piece of chalk and the right incantations. Mind you, it was impressive, if you liked that kind of thing. Pataclusp 2B walked around the great stone block, tidying an equation here, highlighting a hermetic inscription there. He glanced up and gave his father a brief nod. Pataclusp hurried back to the king, who was standing with his retinue on the cliff overlooking the quarry, the sun gleaming off the mask. A royal visit on top of everything else. "We're ready, if it please you, O Ark of the Sky," he said, breaking into a sweat, hoping against hope that... Oh, gods, the king was going to put him at his ease again. He looked imploringly at the high priest, who with the merest twitch of his features indicated that there was nothing he proposed to do about it. This was too much. He wasn't the only one to object to this. Dill, the master embalmer, had been subjected to half an hour of having to talk about his family only yesterday. It was wrong. People expected the king to stay in the palace. It was too... The king ambled towards him in a nonchalant way, designed to make the master builder feel he was among friends. "Oh, no," Pataclusp thought. "He's going to remember my name." "I must say you've done a tremendous amount in 9 weeks. It's a very good start. It's Pataclusp, isn't it?" said the king. Pataclusp swallowed. There was no help for it now. "Yes, oh, hand upon the waters," he said. "Oh, fount of... I think Your Majesty, or Sire, will do," said Tepic. Pataclusp panicked and glanced fearfully at Dios, who winced but nodded again. "The king wishes you to address him..." A look of pain crossed his face. "Informally, in the fashion of the of foreign lands. You must consider yourself a very fortunate man to have such talented and hard-working sons," said Tepic, staring down at the busy panorama of the quarry.
"I will, sire, mumbled Pataclusp, interpreting this as an order. Why couldn't kings order people around like in the old days? You knew where you were then. They didn't go round being charming and treating you as some sort of equal, as if you could make the sun rise too.
It must be a fascinating trade, Tepic went on.
As your sire wishes, sire, said Pataclusp. If your majesty would just give the word.
And how exactly does all this work?
Your sire? Said Pataclusp, horrified.
You make the blocks fly, do you?
Yes, O sire. That is very interesting. How do you do it?
Pataclusp nearly bit through his lip. Betray craft secrets? He was horrified. Against all expectation, Dios came to his aid.
By means of certain secret signs and sigils, sire, he said, into the origin of which it is not wise to inquire. It is the wisdom of, he paused, the moderns.
So much quicker than all that heaving stuff around, I expect, said Tepic.
It had a certain glory, sire, said Dios. Now, if I may suggest.
Oh, yes, press on by all means. Pataclusp wiped his forehead and ran to the edge of the quarry. He waved a cloth.
All things are defined by names. Change the name and you change the thing. Of course, there is a lot more to it than that, but paracosmically, that is what it boils down to.
Pataclusp 2B tapped the stone lightly with his staff. The air above it wavered in the heat, and then, shedding a little dust, the block rose gently until it bobbed a few feet off the ground, held in check by mooring ropes. That was all there was to it. Tepic had expected some thunder, or at least a gout of flame, but already the workers were clustering around another block, and a couple of men were towing the first block down towards the site.
"Very impressive," he said sadly.
"Indeed, sire," said Dios, "and now we must go back to the palace. It will soon be time for the ceremony of the third hour."
"Yes, yes, all right," snapped Tepic. "Very well done, Pataclusp. Keep up the good work."
Pataclusp bowed like a seesaw in flustered excitement and confusion.
"Very good, your sire," he said, and decided to go for the big one.
May I show your sire the latest plans?
The king has approved the plans already, said Dios, and excuse me if I am mistaken, but it seems that the pyramid is well under construction.
Yes, yes, but, said Pataclusp, it occurred to us, this avenue here, you see, overlooking the entrance, what a place, we thought, for a statue of, for instance, Hat, the vulture-headed god of unexpected guests, at practically cost.
Dios glanced at the sketches.
Are those supposed to be wings? He said.
Not even cost, not even cost. Tell you what I'll do, said Pataclusp desperately.
Is that a nose? Said Dios.
More a beak, more a beak, said Pataclusp. Look, O priest, how about...
I think not, said Dios. No, I really think not.
He scanned the quarry for Tepic, groaned, thrust the sketches into the builder's hands and started to run. Tepic had strolled down the path to the waiting chariots, looking wistfully at the bustle around him, and paused to watch a group of workers who were dressing a corner piece. They froze when they felt his gaze on them, and stood sheepishly watching him.
"Well, well," said Tepic, inspecting the stone, although all he knew about stonemasonry could have been chiselled on a sand grain. "What a splendid piece of rock!"
He turned to the nearest man, whose mouth fell open.
"You're a stonemason, are you?" he said. "That must be a very interesting job."
The man's eyes bulged. He dropped his chisel.
"'He said.
100 yards away, Dios's robes flapped around his legs as he pounded down the path. He grasped the hem and galloped along, sandals flapping.
"What's your name?" said Tepic.
"'Ugh,'
said the man, terrified.
"Well, jolly good," said Tepic, and took his unresisting hand and shook it. "Sire!" Dios bellowed.
No!
And the mason spun away, holding his right hand by the wrist, fighting it, screaming. Tepic gripped the arms of the throne and glared at the high priest.
But it's a gesture of fellowship, nothing more. Where I come from, where you come from, sire, is here,
thundered Dios.
But good grief, cutting it off. It's too cruel.
Dios stepped forward. Now his voice was back to its normal, oil-smooth tones.
Cruel, sire, but it will be done with precision and care, with drugs to take away the pain. He will certainly live.
But why?
I did explain, sir. He cannot use the hand again without defiling it. He is a devout man and knows this very well. You see, sire, you are a god, sire.
But you can touch me.
So can the servants.
I am a priest, sire,
said Dios gently, and the servants have special dispensation.
Tepic bit his lip.
This is barbaric, he said.
Dios's features did not move.
It will not be done, Tepic said. I am the king. I forbid it to be done. Do you understand?
Dios bowed. Tepic recognized number 49, horrified disdain.
Your wish will certainly be done, O fountain of all wisdom, although, of course, the man himself may take matters into, if you will excuse me, his own hands.
What do you mean? Snapped Tepic.
Sire, if his colleagues had not stopped him, he would have done it himself with a chisel, I understand.
Tepic stared at him and thought, I am a stranger in a familiar land.
I see, he said eventually.
He thought a little further. Then the operation is to be done with all care, and the man is to be given a pension afterwards, do you see?
As you wish, sire.
A proper one, too.
Indeed, sire. A golden handshake, sire, said Dios impassively.
And perhaps we can find him some light job around the palace.
As a one-handed stonemason, sire?
Dios's left eyebrow arched a fraction.
As whatever, Dios.
Certainly, sire, as you wish. I will undertake to see if we are currently short-handed in any department.
Tepic glared at him.
I am the king, you know, he said sharply. The fact attends me with every waking hour, sire.
Dios, said Tepic, as the high priest was leaving.
Sire,
I ordered a feather bed from Ankh Morpork some weeks ago. I suppose you would not know what became of it. Dios waved his hands in an expressive gesture.
I gather, sire, there is considerable pirate activity off the Carlian coast, he said.
Doubtless the pirates are also responsible for the non-appearance of the expert from the Guild of Plumbers and Dunnikin Divers, Tepic said, sourly.
Dunnikin Diver, a builder and cleaner of cesspits. A particularly busy profession in Ankh Morpork, where the water table is generally at ground level, and one which attracts considerable respect. At least, everyone passes by on the other side of the street when a Dunnikin Diver walks by.
Yes, sire. Or possibly bandits, sire.
Or perhaps a giant two-headed bird swoops down and carried him off, said Tepic.
All things are possible, sire, said the High Priest, his face radiating politeness. You may go, Dios. Sire, may I remind you, sire, that the emissaries from Tassort and Ifib will be attending you at the fifth hour.
Yes, you may go. Tepic was left alone, or at least as alone as he ever was, which meant that he was all by himself, except for two fan wavers, a butler, two enormous Hawanda guards by the door, and a couple of handmaidens.
Oh, yes, handmaidens.
He hadn't quite come to terms with the handmaidens yet. Presumably Dios chose them, as he seemed to oversee everything in the palace, and he had shown surprisingly good taste in the matter of, for example, olive skins, bosoms, and legs. The clothing these two wore would between them have covered a small saucer. And this was odd, because the net effect was to turn them into two attractive and mobile pieces of furniture, as sexless as pillars. Tepic sighed with the recollection of women in Ankh Morpork who could be clothed from neck to ankle in brocade and still cause a classroom full of boys to blush to the roots of their hair. He reached down for the fruit bowl. One of the girls immediately grasped his hand, moved it gently aside, and took a grape.
"Please don't peel it," said Tepic. "The peel's the best part, full of nourishing vitamins and minerals. Only I don't suppose you've heard about them, have you? They've only been invented recently," he added, mainly to himself. "I mean within the last 7,000 years, he finished sourly.
So much for time flowing past, he thought glumly. It might do that everywhere else, but not here. Here it just piles up like snow. It's as though the pyramids slow us down, like those things they used on the boat. What do you call them? Sea anchors. Tomorrow here is just like yesterday, warmed over. She peeled the grape anyway, while the snowflake seconds drifted down. At the sight of the Great Pyramid, the huge blocks of stone floated into place like an explosion in reverse. They were flowing between the quarry and the site, drifting silently across the landscape above deep, rectangular shadows.
"I've got to hand it to you," said Pataclus to his son as they stood side by side in the observation tower. "It's astonishing. One day people will wonder how we did it." "Oh, that business with the log rollers and the whips is old hat," said Tooby. You can throw them away."
The young architect smiled, but there was a manic hint to the rictus. It was astonishing. It was more astonishing than it ought to be. He kept getting the feeling that the pyramid was... He shook himself mentally. He should be ashamed of that sort of thinking. You could get superstitious if you weren't careful in this job. It was natural for things to form a pyramid. Well, a cone, anyway. He'd experimented this morning. Grain, salt, sand. Not water, though. That had been a mistake. But a pyramid was only a neat cone, wasn't it? A cone which had decided to be a bit tidier. Perhaps he'd overdone it just a gnat on the paracosmic measurements. His father slapped him on the back.
"Very well done," he repeated. "You know, it almost looks as though it's building itself."
2B yelped and bit his wrist, a childish trait that he always resorted to when he was nervous. Pataclusp didn't notice, because at that moment one of the foremen was running to the foot of the tower, waving his ceremonial measuring rod. Pataclusp leaned over.
"What?" he demanded. "I said, please to come at once, O master."
On the pyramid itself, on the working surface about halfway up, where some of the detailed work on the inner chambers was in progress, the word impressive was no longer appropriate. The word terrifying seemed to fit the bill. Blocks were stacking up in the sky overhead in a giant, slow dance, passing and repassing, their mahouts yelling at one another and at the luckless controllers down on the pyramid top, who were trying to shout instructions above the noise. Pataclusp waded into the cluster of workers around the centre. Here, at least, there was silence, dead silence. All right, he said. What's going... Oh! Pataclusp 2B peered over his father's shoulder and stuck his wrist in his mouth. The thing was wrinkled. It was ancient. It clearly had once been a living thing. It lay on the slab like a very obscene prune.
It was my lunch, said the chief plasterer. It was my bloody lunch. I was really looking forward to that apple.
But it can't start yet, whispered 2B. It can't form temporal nodes yet. I mean, how does it know it's going to be a pyramid?
I put my hand down for it, and it felt just like... It felt pretty unpleasant, the plasterer complained.
And it's a negative node, too, added 2B. We shouldn't be getting them at all.
Is it still there? Said Pataclusp, and added, tell me yes.
If more blocks have been set in the position, it won't be, said his son, looking around wildly. As the centre of mass changes, you see, the nodes will be pulled around.
Pataclusp pulled the young man to one side.
What are you telling me now? He demanded, in a camel whisper.
Horse whispers are not suitable for a desert environment.
We ought to put a cap on it, mumbled 2B. Flare off the trapped time. Wouldn't be any problems then.
How can we cap it? It isn't damn well finished, said Pataclusp.
What have you been and gone and done? Pyramids don't start accumulating till they're finished. Until they're pyramids, see? Pyramid energy, see? Named after pyramids. That's why it's called pyramid energy.
It must be something to do with the mass or something, the architect hazarded. And the speed of construction. The time is getting trapped in the fabric. I mean, in theory, you could get small nodes during construction, but they'd be so weak you wouldn't notice, and if you went and stood in one, maybe you'd become a few hours older or younger.
He began to gabble.
I recall when we did Kenneth the 14th's tomb, the fresco painter said it took him 2 hours to do the painting in the Queen's room, and we said it was 3 days and fined him, said Pataclusp slowly. There was a lot of guild fuss, I remember.
You just said that, said 2B.
Said what?
About the fresco painter just a moment ago.
No, I didn't. You couldn't have been listening, said Pataclusp.
Could have sworn you did. Anyway, this is worse than that business, said his son, and it's probably going to happen again.
We can expect more like it.
Yes, said 2B. We shouldn't get negative nodes, but it looks as though we will. We can expect fast flows and reverse flows, and probably even short loops. I'm afraid we can expect all kinds of temporal anomalies. We'd better get the men off.
I suppose you couldn't work out a way we could get them to work in fast time and pay them for slow time, said Pataclusp.
It's just a thought.
Your brother's bound to suggest it.
No, keep everyone off. We'll get the blocks in and cap it first.
All right, I was just thinking out loud, as if we didn't have enough problems. Pataclusp waded into the cluster of workers around the centre. Here, at least, there was silence, dead silence. All right, he said. What's got...
Oh...
Pataclusp 2B peered over his father's shoulder and stuck his wrist in his mouth. The thing was wrinkled. It was ancient. It clearly once had been a living thing. It lay on the slab like a very obscene prune.
It was my lunch, said the chief plasterer. It was my bloody lunch. I was really looking forward to that apple.
Pataclusp hesitated. This all seemed very familiar. He'd had this feeling before. An overwhelming sensation of déjà vu, literally... I am going to be here again. He met the horrified gaze of his son. Together, dreading what they might see, they turned around slowly. They saw themselves, standing behind themselves, bickering over something 2B was swearing that he had already heard. He has to, Pataclusp realized in dread. That's me over there. I look a lot different from the outside. And it's me over here, too, as well. Also, it's a loop, just like in the river, a tiny whirlpool, only it's in the flow of time. And I've just gone round it twice. The other Pataclusp looked up at him. There was a long, agonizing moment of temporal strain, a noise like a mouse blowing bubblegum, and the loop broke and the figure faded.
I know what's causing it, muttered 2B indistinctly because of his wrist. I know the pyramid isn't complete, but it will be, so the effects are sort of echoing backwards, Dad.
Well, we ought to stop right now. It's too big. I was wrong.
Shut up. Can you work out where the nodes will form? Said Patterclusp. And come away over here. All the lads are staring. Pull yourself together, son.
2B instinctively put his hand into his belt abacus.
Yes, probably, he said. It's just a function of mass distribution and...
Right, said the builder firmly. Start doing it, and then get all the foremen to come and see me.
There was a glint like mica in Patterclusp's eye. His jaw was squared like a block of granite. Maybe it's the pyramid that's got me thinking like this, he said. I'm thinking fast, I know it.
And get your brother up here too, he added.
It is the pyramid effect. I'm remembering an idea I'm going to have. Best not to think too hard about that. Be practical. He stared around at the half-completed site. The gods knew we couldn't do it in time, he said. Now we don't have to. We can take as long as we like.
Are you all right? Said 2B. Dad, are you all right?
Was that one of your time loops? Said Patterclusp dreamily.
What an idea! No one would ever beat them on a contract ever again. They'd win bonuses for completion, and it didn't matter how long it took.
No, Dad, we ought to...
But you're sure you can work out where these loops will occur, are you?
Yes, I expect so, but...
Good.
Patterclusp was trembling with excitement. Maybe they'd have to pay the men more, but it would be worth it. And 2A would be bound to think up some sort of scheme. Finance was nearly as good as magic. The lads would have to accept it. After all, they'd complained about working with free men. They'd complained about working with Hawandanians. They'd complained about working with everyone except proper paid-up guild members. So they could hardly complain about working with themselves. 2B stepped back and gripped the abacus for reassurance.
Dad, he said cautiously, what are you thinking about?
Patterclusp beamed at him.
Doppelgangs, he said.
Politics was more interesting. Tepic felt that here, at least, he could make a contribution. The Jelly Baby was old. It was respected, but it was also small, and in the sword-edged sense, which was what seemed to matter these days, had no power. It wasn't always thus, as Dios told it. Once it had ruled the world by sheer force of nobility, hardly needing the standing army of 25,000 men it had in those high days. Now it wielded a more subtle power as a narrow state between the huge and thrusting empires of Tussort and Ephebe, each one both a threat and a shield. For more than 1,000 years, the kings along the Dajel had, with extreme diplomacy, exquisite manners, and the footwork of a centipede on adrenaline, kept the peace along the whole Widdershin side of the continent. Merely having existed for 7,000 years can be a formidable weapon if you use it properly.
You mean we're neutral ground, said Tepic.
Tussort is a desert culture like us, said Dios, stippling his hands. We have helped to shape it over the years. As for Ephebe, he sniffed, they have some very strange beliefs.
How do you mean?
They believe the world is run by geometry, sire. All lines and angles and numbers, that sort of thing, sire. Dios frowned, can lead to some very unsound ideas.
Ah, said Tepic, resolving to learn more about unsound ideas as soon as possible. So we're secretly on the side of Tussort, yes?
No. It is important that Ephebe remains strong.
But we've more in common with Tussort.
So we allow them to believe, sire.
But they are a desert culture.
Dios smiled.
I'm afraid they don't take pyramids seriously, sire.
Tepic considered all this.
So whose side are we really on?
Our own, sire. There is always a way. Always remember, sire, that your family was on its third dynasty before our neighbors had worked out, sire, how babies are made.
The Tussort delegation did indeed appear to have studied Dajeli culture assiduously, almost frantically. It was also clear that they hadn't begun to understand it. They'd merely borrowed as many bits as seemed useful and then put them together in subtly wrong ways. For example, to a man, they employed the three-turning walk, as portrayed on friezes, and only used by the Dajeli court on certain occasions. Occasional grimaces crossed their faces as their vertebra protested. They were also wearing the cruspids of mourning and the bangles of going forth,
as well as the kilt of Yet, with, and no wonder even the maidens on fan duty were hiding their smiles, matching greaves. Some translation is needed here. If a foreign ambassador to the court of St. James wore, out of a genuine desire to flatter, a bowler hat, a claymore, a Civil War breastplate, Saxon trousers, and a Jacobean haircut, he'd create pretty much the same impression. Even Tepic had to cough hurriedly. But then he thought, they don't know any better, they're like children. And this thought was followed by another one which added, these children could wipe us off the map in 1 hour. Hot on the synapses of the other two came a third thought, which said, it only clothes, for goodness sake, you're beginning to take it all seriously. The group from Ephebe were more sensibly dressed in white togas. They had a certain sameness about them, as if somewhere in that country there was a little press that stamped out small bald men with curly white beards. The two parties halted before the throne and bowed. Hello, said Tepic. His Greatness the King Tepicaimon the 28th, Lord of the Heavens, Charioteer of the Wagon of the Sun, Steersman of the Bark of the Sun, Guardian of the Secret Knowledge, Lord of the Horizon, Keeper of the Way, the Flail of Mercy, the High-Born One, the Never-Dying King, bids you welcome and commands you to take wine with him, said Dios, clapping his hands for a butler. Oh, yes, said Tepic. Do sit down, won't you? His Greatness the King Tepicaimon the 28th, Lord of the Heavens, Charioteer of the Wagon of the Sun, Steersman of the Bark of the Sun, Guardian of the Secret Knowledge, Lord of the Horizon, Keeper of the Way, the Flail of Mercy, the High-Born One, the Never-Dying King, commands you to be seated, said Dios. Tepic racked his brains for a suitable speech. He'd heard plenty in Ankh Morpork. They were probably the same the whole world over. I'm sure we shall get on. His Greatness the King Tepicaimon the 28th, Lord of the Heavens, Charioteer of the Wagon of the Sun, Steersman of the Bark of the Sun, Guardian of the Secret Knowledge, Lord of the Horizon, Keeper of the Way, the Flail of Mercy, the High-Born One, the Never-Dying King, bids you hearken, Dios boomed. Long history of friendship. Hearken to the wisdom of His Greatness the King Tepicaimon the 28th, Lord of the Heavens, Charioteer of the Wagon of the Sun, Steersman of the Bark of the Sun, Guardian of the Secret Knowledge, Lord of the Horizon, Keeper of the Way, the Flail of Mercy, the High-Born One, the Never-Dying King. The echoes died away. Could I have a word with you a moment, Dios? The High Priest leaned down. Is all this necessary? Hissed Tepic. Dios's aquiline features took on the wooden expression of one who is wrestling with an unfamiliar concept. Of course, sire. It is traditional, he said at last. I thought I was supposed to talk to these people, you know, about boundaries and trade and so on. I've been doing a lot of thinking about it, and I've got several ideas. I mean, it's going to be a little difficult if you're going to keep shouting. Dios gave him a polite smile. Oh, no, sire. That has all been sorted out, sire. I met with them this morning. What am I supposed to do, then? Dios made a slight circling motion with one hand. Just as you wish, sire. It is normal to smile a little and put them at their ease. Is that all? Sire could ask them whether they enjoy being diplomats, sire, said Dios. He met Tepic's glare with eyes as expressionless as mirrors. I am the king, Tepic hissed. Certainly, sire. It would not do to sully the office with mere matters of leaden state, sire. Tomorrow, sire, you will be holding Supreme Court. A very fit office for a monarch, sire. Ah, yes,